In the laws of Nesis Kapayim, we're up to subsection Nun Gimel, 53. Now, we learned about that even a Kohen who is not doing the mitzvahs, and, you know, he's doing things not according to halacha, but yet he should still do Nesis Kapayim, raise his hands, because we don't tell a person who is violating some mitzvahs, oh, don't do other mitzvahs. You know, you just, every mitzvah you do, you have to do. So if you're not doing other things, but you're still going to have to do this mitzvah. And he says, one shouldn't say, well, what kind of blessing can I get from a kohen who's not observant? And the answer is because God gives you the blessing. It's not the kohen that gives you the blessing. He's just the agent, so you're getting it from God. And, so today we're going to learn, though, there's an exception to this to the thing, but which rules the Kohen can violate in order to still be counted. This is Nun Gimel in chapter 53. This is said that this leniency that it's okay for him to do Nesis Kapayim if the violation is on such mitzvahs which are across the board for a regular Israelite and a Kohen. They're all you know, all the mitzvahs, eating kosher, whatever it is, you know, you have to do all the mitzvahs. So if they're equal and he violates it, he would still do Nesis Kapayim. But if he transgresses, he violates the special mitzvahs which are for Kohanim. And that is, I will say, Kasu Chachamim, then the Chachamim punished him. Upaslu Mikol Malus HaKuhuna. And they disqualified him from all the advantages that a Kohen has. As for example, keep going. Kohen shenasa gerusha. If a Kohen who marries a divorced woman, Kohen is not allowed to marry a divorced woman, or a chalutza, or a woman who has Rusuf chalutza, Kohen is not allowed to marry her. If he does marry her, that's a special halacha for a Kohen. So that's the special sanctity of a Kohen.
Is the chalutza when she says, I don't
want to
marry
the second brother? Yeah. Or he had intentionally, I guess, become defiled for a mace. He touches the cone, he's not allowed to touch a mace. She'enim zayim mace mitzvah, which is not one of the seven mitzvah mace, in which, you know, it's a mitzvah for the relatives. A coin is excused in those cases. Ein neise kapo, then he cannot raise his hands. Ve'enoygim be'kedusha, and you don't conduct with him any holiness. Afilu likrois b'Torah rishon, even as far as reading first in the Torah, he doesn't get the kohen aliyah if he does that. He doesn't get the kohen aliyah.
Is that forever?
During the time, until he, I guess, till he did this teshuvah. I mean, until the time. So that's what you have. You know, you have sometimes kohen that marry a divorced woman, and they forfeit, you know, even in the Orthodox community, sometimes you have. A rabbi would be hard-pressed to find a rabbi to make that marriage because you're not supposed to marry. There's a violation over there. The Torah doesn't allow that, but the kiddushin are good. Marriage is a good marriage. It's not like it's not a marriage. So, but he forfeits the kahuna. There's no longer a kohen.
Nor his kids.
No, now, okay, so here, here you asked up to when, so we're going to study in a minute. Even if he divorced her or she died, he's still disqualified. He must make a vow on the public, you know, so it's called Das Rabim, which means for on the view of many, which means you won't be able to go and to one person say, oh, okay, you know, I made a mistake on the vow, I want to retract it. But we want to be a vow that is going to be lasting. So there has to be a public adas rabim, ma'anoshu osubem, so that he's not going to, he made a vow not to marry the women that he's prohibited, that this kind is prohibited. Shanaydar shadahoydar adas rabim in leha Torah. Because once, if you make a vow which is on the view of the many, you cannot later on absolve it. You can't absolve it with such a vow. But if a person is not going to make a vow on the many, and apparently when a person makes a vow, if the Torah tells him not to do it, it's not a strong thing. He doesn't care. But if he makes a vow, he makes a promise, I guess people are more going to listen to a promise that makes it. But when he makes a vow, not on the Das Rabbi, he may go Shemel Chacham, he may go to a sage, Vishalan Nidre, and he may ask to get him absolved from his vow. Lifi sheyitzre toikfei la'arayis, because his inclination is very forceful, pushing him for this relationship. So he doesn't want it. So he's gonna. So we don't trust just making a vow. It has to be a vow on Das Rabim, so we know that he's not going to be able to absolve himself from it. And once he makes that commitment, we accept that, and then he can become back a kohen. This applies specifically to marriages that are prohibited to him. Avo benitma lemeis ein tzorich lidor. But if he has become defiled to a mace, oh, he touched the corpse over there. Ein tzorich lidor. You don't need to make a vow. El dashi yoshiv yekabelov shleitamud lemeis. Over there is sufficient because it's that he's going to accept himself, that he's going to return, and he's going to accept upon himself. He's not going to anymore defile himself to the dead. Now, when we talk about a person abstaining from marrying, so there we worry more. We don't just accept him because, since he may be very tempted, and is, so he might want to marry somebody he's not allowed to, that might push him along. But so that's what we need, this vow of Das Rabim. But just for, if he defiled himself, which he lost his privileges, but he can get it easily back by saying, undertaking that he's going to be more careful in the future.
So the person who married the divorced woman and she has passed away, or they divorced, is that when he makes the Das Rabim, that he won't do it again?
That's minimally, if while he's living with her, he can't make it, what is he going to make a vow?
Right, so it's after the fact. It's
yeah, I mean, we're talking about he's retracting, yeah. Or he divorced her, or he died, or whatever. I don't know what happened, but the bottom line, now at this point he wants to change his behavior.
Yes.
He can't make a vow while he's doing the opposite, right. So that doesn't make any, that, no, would, I, that I, wouldn't make I any wondered, sense.
Does every Kohen do that before they marry at all? Make a vow, I will never marry.
Why? Yeah, right. Why would it be necessary? That wouldn't be necessary.
To show that they have that strength to.
No, but so why? But right now they're not doing anything wrong. I mean,
yeah.
You don't have to make it. They're not doing anything wrong, so it's not a problem.
Okay.
I think that's not a problem.
And their children.
Perfect.
The children of.
When you make a das rabim, after the wife has passed away or divorced, is
their children ready? The what? Their children?
Yeah. Had there been children, do they then become kohen once again?
No. I mean, they're. They're disqualified already because of the.
Yeah? Even though the father does the das rabim.
So no, but they were born from a woman who's good. That doesn't help. Right. That's not a. He's doing something, you know, commitment. But you know, the children are not really full kohanim. They're halalim. They're considered
Israelites.
They're like Israelites. Yeah. For most matters. Sif Nun Dalad, subsection 54. Yesh Aimrim, there are those that say that Shekoyin Shiesh Le Bas Shezinsa Arusa Afil Nesua, that a Koyin who has a daughter who has committed adultery, whether she was just betrothed to somebody else or she was married to the other person, Oyshe Himira, or she actually converted to another religion, once you convert to another religion, is shemina stam zinsa. The assumption is that she had, you know, relationships with people that she wasn't allowed to. Once she doesn't follow Jewish religion anymore. She converted to another religion. So the verse states, and they apply to the words. It says of esovia him chalelis. She's actually desecrating her father, because that's a pasuk, and they translated that it means literally that if one's daughter gets involved in this kind of thing, would also deny the father his sanctity of the being a Kohen. You're not obligated to sanctify him, to call him first to the Torah, and the rest of the advantages of a Kohen, you know, he gets the bench first or whatever takes place. But still, he would be raising his hands. Shein avedus shar avedus moinim nisis kapalim afilu hein boy v'kolshke v'bitoy. But he can still raise his hand, do bechas kohanim, because these other avedus outside of the tumasim or defiling himself or marriages don't disqualify, don't prevent for as far as raising the hands. Even if they were with him and certainly with his daughter. So what his daughter does would not disqualify him.
Rabbi.
However, yeah.
Rabbi Hecht's Y class, yeah. Not the issue if someone converts, they're still considered Jewish.
We learned that also before, right. Over here.
So if she's still considered Jewish, why is it assumed that she might have had relations with a non-Jew?
No, first of all, not because she's not, she doesn't follow the laws. That's what the assumption
she's
is.
She's considered Jewish still, though.
So on the contrary, because she's considered Jewish, that's why it would be a violation. She wouldn't be considered Jewish, then with no violation. It's okay for a non-Jew to do violations. It's precisely because she's considered Jewish that it would still matter what she does. Otherwise, it wouldn't matter what she does. But over here, actually, he says, he doesn't say, we don't go by these words of this opinion. Why? In all anything, you know, it doesn't. Because this that it says that she would be desecrating her father, that the pasuk that we're quoting over here, it's only only if there were, she did the prohibited relationship. There was witnesses. She was warned. Ukshid b'fnei Sanhedrin. He had to testify in front of the Sanhedrin, and that's when it would apply. Avol achshav noigim b'kedusha chol davar. But now, we would apply when kedusha chol davar. So if somebody has a daughter who has done bad things, doesn't at all, because we don't have none of these requirements. We have the witnesses warning, we don't have Sanhedrin, so therefore this would not really apply to today's time. Now, the next thing that you mentioned also, he says, over here in Nun Hei, we're talking about a cholol. That's the status of a cholol, is somebody who's born from a Kohen, who's married to one of the prohibited women that he's not allowed to marry. So he says, "Acholol dahainu hanoilid meisurei kahuna." If he's born from those who are prohibited to the Kohen, as for example, shein grusha, zoyna chalola. Those are the three. Either she's divorced, he's not a married divorced woman. He's not allowed to marry a woman who's considered a harlot, a zoyna, and he's also not allowed to marry a chalola, a woman who is already born. A woman who was born from a prohibited relationship that her father had as a Kohen. So, if he is a Cholol, he's born of one of these one, he doesn't raise his hands. As we mentioned earlier, he's not considered a Kohen, he's not anymore a Kohen. He's considered like a non-Kohen for everything. As written in Eben Ezer, in the section of Shulchan Aruch called Eben Ezer, chapter 7. Lefikach, and therefore, im noise kapov, if he does duchen, he doesn't consider, he's born his father's a kohen, he doesn't care. So therefore, over be'ezer, then he's violating a positive command, because kimo yizosh noise kapov, he would be the same status as an Israelite would go up there and do the blessings, he would be also violating the Ezer. Because the Torah says a Kohen should bless, and not an Israelite, not a non-Kohen.
Right.
And this person is not considered a Kohen.
So the child of that relation, that illicit relationship, or if he married a woman of that illicit relationship.
Yeah. So the not sure exactly what the word illicit means. It's not
prohibited.
Really. Yeah, okay. It's a prohibited relationship, yeah. But it's not considered to be. It's a relationship that does kiddush. You know, sometimes certain relationships, the child would be considered an illegitimate child. That would be if you have a marriage between prohibitions which are punishable by Kuris or by Mrs. Bezdin, those relationships are considered union. The child would not be considered a legitimate child. It would be called, in the Hebrew, it's called a mamzer. It's,
yes.
You know, another. But this, by the Kohen, it's not a mamzer. It's not he's the legitimate child. He's just not a Kohen.
Yeah.
He's not a Kohen, but he's not. It's still. Unfortunately today, who knows the Kohen? I mean, we don't even know who's Jewish. You know. This morning I just read in that they're saying that Netanyahu's wife, his second wife, who's, I guess it's his second wife, that she converted conservative, and therefore she's not even Jewish, according to, because they're having this whole big fight in Israel about the Kotel, because they designated the space for the Reform people to daven over there, and the Haredi are upset. So I'm just saying, it's today you don't really know who's what and where. You know, it's very difficult. Who knows the parents? You know, the Cohen. People aren't careful today. The Cohens don't even know that who they could marry, who they can't marry. You know, I mean, if they don't follow religious life, so we don't know. You know, so you have a Cohen. We know if he married somebody who is. Certainly if he married a convert, is also not permitted to a Cohen. It's considered. Convert is not permitted to a Kohen either. And, it's a big mishmash over there today, you know. If you want to follow the strictly by the rules, you know, I mean, and, I'm not sure it's our job to go and try to disqualify people or things like that, work it out, but, you know, somebody gets up there and he says he's a Kohen, he wants to do the Duchening. What are we going to do? Start asking who your father was, or did he marry? Was your mother, but he says he's violating an essay. Okay, so I guess that's what he's doing. They're violating more prohibitions of being an essay. I'm not sure exactly, but this is some of the problems that we have to deal with today. Now he says, "Vafilu cholol shodivreyem." Even if it's only a cholol of a rabbinic, in other words, the Torah doesn't consider that a cholol, but the rabbis consider it. Because the Torah only would be a cholol if he's born from a woman who was a divorced woman. But if he was born from a woman who was only chalitza, which means the Levirate marriage wasn't done, but the brother gave a chalitza, that only makes him disqualifies him from the Rabbonon, and then there's a child who's been with Rabbonon. Einu nois hakapo is not going to raise his hands. Afal pi shenesis kipayim min haTorah, but even though raising your hands, that's a Torah commandment. V'hu min haTorah be'esa, and you violate an esa, a positive command. If they call you up, they say come up to Koyanim, or the Koyanim is not, but they tell you come up, and you don't go up, you're violating a prohibition of the Torah. Imam Rulay Lalis. So how could now the Chachamim say no, you're a cholo because there's a chalutza? Says, the sages do have the power to uproot a Torah law. If it's saying sit, don't do it, they can uproot it. For this reason, all those that would be disqualified from the words of the rabbis, from the scribes, they will not go up to the Birchas Kohanim, even though somebody tells them to go up. They don't go up, as said before in Sifei. Elo shapsulim shaloi mipnei begomom, those who are disqualified, not because of their blemishes. So, for other reasons, like we said before, people deform people, sometimes people that are going to look at them, so they shouldn't go up to do the konim. So over there, yeshlem lotsim b'sikonas koydum ritzei, they should leave the shul before you say ritzei. Shlo yoyim ralem shem begumim, because if they're not going to go up to the aliyah, people are going to say that they're blemished also. K'moshin nizbarishim, as I said over there. Mekom okoyim, en chiyuv, aleim lotsim b'sikonasis, but it's not an obligation for them. They don't have to leave the shul. Since the Chachamim said don't go up to raise your hands, they're not violating anything by staying in the shul, because they're not going up because the Chachamim said don't go up.